Please be seated. One of our servers there is up for to be the Vice President of Diocesan Commission for Youth. We have a long tradition of having the young people of this parish in positions of office on the Youth Commission. That's been going on for years now, so congratulations. And John, you're not the only one that got a little concerned about the choice of readings, John, in choir, because the first reading was switched on me and the psalm was switched on you. I don't know what happened there. Today, my message, John, from fear to faith, from fear to faith. And it's a favorite topic of Merlin Carruthers, who wrote a book entitled From Fear to Faith. He wrote a book on prison to praise, the power of praise, praise works, and From Fear to Faith, and many other books. He's one of my favorite authors because he speaks on the power of praise. But today I'd like to ask you some questions about fear. What are the top 10, in your mind, human fears? The top 10 human fears. What do you think they are? Death is number two. Public speaking? No, it's not there. It's not a top human fear. Huh? Right on. That's number one. And the fear of public speaking is because of the fear of failure. See what I mean? The fear of failure. That's one. So we got one and two. Go ahead. Sickness. Okay. Well, here they don't call it sickness because what troubles people, what they're afraid of is not the sickness. It's the pain. People fear pain. What's another one? That's number eight.
A job loss.
The fear, well, they don't use, because it's, we don't know what's going to happen. What's that? Fear of the unknown. That's number nine.
Poverty.
People don't fear poverty. People fear what? The lack. They fear misery. Because poverty leads to misery. And that's number six. What else?
Rejection.
Oh, that's a high one. Rejection. That's number three. If anybody's been through a divorce, you know what it's like to feel rejected, don't you? You know what that feels like. That is it. And it's a fear that people have, the fear of rejection, especially young people. They want to be accepted by their peers, and they fear rejection and will do anything to get their peers to like them. Isn't that true? Okay, what other one? What is it we all fear in old age? Loneliness. Yeah, right. That's number five. Now, the only one we're missing is 7 and 10. As you get older and you cannot get around, what do you feel? You lose your what? Your freedom. You know, you lose your freedom. That's a big fear, losing of freedom. I was talking to somebody recently. I said, well, you're going to have to give up driving because you're having seizures. Oh, no, I'm not giving up driving. No way. I'll lose all my freedom. What am I going to do? I have to stay home and drink all day. And then the last one, number seven, is disappointment. When you're disappointed in your kids, the fear of being disappointed by your children, fear of being disappointed in yourself, okay? That's a big fear with many people. The two things that I fear, one of them is, you know, as I get older, the fear of losing it. You know, because I walk in the garage and I go, what the heck am I doing in the garage? Went to get my papers for the sermon in my office and I go, what am I in here for? I leave for the wedding yesterday and I'm telling Kristen, oh, I got to make sure I bring all the papers for the wedding because I have a sermon for that wedding. I get in the car and I said, where are the papers? I left them in the house. I said, I hope these are not signs of oncoming dementia. And God's answer to that was, stay active. That was his answer to me. That's why he said, you're going to preach for me every week, and you're going to do a good job preaching. And then I have, then that when he says, I'm going to do a good job preaching, then I get anxious. Every Monday, I'm anxious. I'm nervous. Oh, no, I got to preach this weekend, and I don't want to fail. Fear of failure, right? And I'm nervous all week about, then I get up to preach, and I'm a different person. I don't know what happens to me. The Holy Spirit takes over. I can't get over it. I said, I don't have that much energy at home. And yet I'm all energetic when I get in the pulpit or when I preach from the aisle. The Holy Spirit takes over, and God said, don't worry. Stop being afraid and anxious. I will put my words in your mouth. It's the Holy Spirit. So somebody said, you're a good preacher. I said, no, the Holy Spirit's the good preacher. I'm just a vessel. So that's how we go through fear. Fear kind of clutches us at the heart. And the first reading, wrong reading, of course, but that's okay, because the reading today for the first reading was supposed to be the slaying of Goliath. And remember that story. He was an arrogant SOB. Big, tall, big muscles, you know, he was at the gym every day like Winston. And he had a coat of armor as, you know, thick as hell, heck, heavy, heavy coat of armor. And he even had an armor, and he had a shield bearer in front of him to protect him from the arrows and everything. And he gets up there, arrogant as anybody can be, reminds me of other people in our society today, and he goes, I can take anybody on. Send one of your guys up against me. We're going to fight it out, just the two of us. If he slays me, you win. If I slay him, we win. Does it sound familiar? So they come to battle, you know, and David's there. He's just a small guy compared to Goliath. And so they put all this armor on him to protect him. And he starts to walk towards Goliath, and he can't walk because the armor's too heavy. So he throws all the armor off, and he's just got his regular clothes on and his slingshot. And he pulls out his slingshot, picks up a stone, bang, Goliath goes down dead because the stone embedded itself right in his forehead. Was he afraid? He was the only one that was willing to confront Goliath. Because he had no fear. He was fearless. Maybe he was a little nuts, but he was fearless because he knew that God would give him the victory. If it was God's will, God would give him the victory. So he went forward with that conviction, and he slew Goliath. In today's reading, he takes the head of Goliath, cuts the head off, and brings it to Saul, the king. And Saul looks at that head, and he grew exceedingly afraid of David, because he was afraid that David would become the next politician, see? My feeling is, you know, what I like about this story, we should have put the politicians in the rink and let them battle it out instead of sending all our instead of sending all our kids over to be killed to fight our political issues, you know. So David, and he sends David out with an army of thousands thinking that he'll get killed. But David came back and forth successful. God was upon David. The Spirit of God was upon David. Why? Because he trusted God. And Saul did not. Saul trusted in his own strength. And those who are mighty are cast down because God took his spirit away from Saul because of his arrogance. It's a good story, isn't it? And then today's reading, the gospel reading, Jesus is in a boat and there's a windstorm, right? And the boat's being swamped. And they're scared to death. They're afraid they're going to die. The fear of death, number two. And they go, and Jesus is on a pillow sleeping on a cushion. If it were me, I would have gone up and slapped him silly. What are you doing sleeping? We are in peril. Now, you get right up and be in peril like the rest of us. But Jesus gets up and he says, be still. And there was calm. See, this is what God does for us. He brings calm in the midst of storms. He brings peace. And he looked at his disciples and what did he say? You have no faith. Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Fear destroys faith. Did you know that? It slowly erodes at our faith. Because when we're fearful, what are we looking at? The problem. When we are in fear, we're looking at the problem, not the solution. And there's three reactions to fear. What are they? I'm sure any psychologist here? Three reactions to fear. Run away! You know, where's our buddy there? My sidekick, John Farley, because he would say, run away, run away! Run away from it. The other side of it is what? Fight, which leads anger and violence. Look what's happening in our country today. Because there is so much fear, we are being confronted with anger and violence on a daily basis. People are afraid to even go out anymore. I'm not afraid. If it's the end of my days, I'm going to heaven, so it'll be the end. I'm not going to stay home because there's shooters out there. But that's what fear does. The third reaction is to do nothing, to pretend it's not even there, which is not a good place to be, to pretend, because then the fear will really conquer you. What we need to do is face our fears, face them, and realize that they're real, and then to invite Jesus, like, wake him up, slap him silly, get him up, invite him into your fears, and say, I can't take care of it, I'm afraid. Come into this fear, and bring calm and stillness in this situation. And our weapon, what do you think our weapon is to make that happen? I preach on it all the time. Praise, oh, for God's sake. Haven't you been listening for the past 10 years? Praise. Praise is the key. It's the key to bringing Christ into a situation of fear. Now, if you're afraid, you know, like if I'm nervous and anxious, that's not going to help me, right? It just makes my life miserable. And so you know, if you just keep looking at it, it's like this. You know, you're looking down. I'm afraid. How could God's grace come into that situation if we're like this? Right? He can't put grace into us unless we let him. We could say no to God's grace. And fear prevents the grace from really entering into us. Because he can't force us to be something we're not, to be something that we're not. So the only thing we can do, like Job, who's sitting on a pile of manure with a rake in his hand, finally he came to the conclusion, I might as well praise God because nothing else is working. So he goes, praise you, God. And what happened? Everything was restored to Job. His wife, his family, his house, his business, everything was in ruins until he started praising God. And once he started praising God, everything was restored to him. Isn't that a miracle? The point is that God is in control. And we need to let him be in control. We have to ask him to enter into our fears and to praise him within those circumstances of trouble. Otherwise, those things will conquer us. And by God's grace, nothing is impossible. Nothing. There are 4 points I'd like to close with. Number one, faith focuses on God, not our problems. Okay? Because if you focus on your problems, you will be destroyed by the problem. They will overwhelm you. Number two, faith trusts in God's timing, not our own. You know, when I pray to God and ask him to do something, I expect it to be done next minute. But then God says, no, it's not, it's my timing, not yours. God knows when is the best time. I remember when my mom, my dad, and my brother died. Before they died, I said, are you afraid of dying? They said, no, it's God's timing. I said, what are you afraid of then? Pain. Fear of the unknown. How is it going to happen? But they knew they were going to heaven. They knew it. But they were just worried about the timing. Faith grows by believing God in spite of circumstances. If you only praise God when you're getting your way, you're a brat. I mean, of course, you know, I have a grandson. I mean, you know, you give him what he wants. Oh, he loves you. When you say no, he gets mad at you. He looks at you and goes, Pepe, I want ice cream. I say, you can't have ice cream. I want ice cream. And he will continue to be persistent because he learned that from the Bible. Ask, you shall receive, be persistent. Be persistent with Pepe. You're going to wear him down and he'll give you whatever you want, whatever he wants. But that's how we are with God sometimes. We ask and ask and ask, and if we don't get it, we lose our confidence in prayer. We feel that God is deaf, or at least he needs a hearing aid, because he can't hear me. And maybe he doesn't really care about me, so people begin to doubt when they don't get their prayers answered when they want them to be answered. And sometimes the answer is not what we want, but what God sees we need. And sometimes illness and death, which we are deathly afraid of, is the purpose of our whole life, to be reunited with God. From his point of view, he's bringing us to glory. From our point of view, we're miserable. You see? It's different for God. His view is totally different than ours. And number four, faith obeys God one step at a time. One step at a time. We can't change anything. We can't even change ourselves. But we can live in faith and we can live in praising God every day. And what it does is it lifts us up. And we experience the joy of God in our lives. We experience joy. And we learn to live in the present. There's a book called The Present. You know what the book is all about? Most people live in the past because they think the past was glorious. Well, it never was. Or many people live in the future, hoping, you know, they want, when I retire, when I do that, you know, I'll do this. They live in the future. They don't live in the present. We have to learn to live fully in the present because there might not be a future. Like that priest that used to be, Bo was his name. Good priest, retired. He was going to have the thrill of his life. He walks between two parked cars. Truck comes by, kills him instantly. You never know. We have to live in the present and praise God for the present, and be present to the present. Don't live for the future. I learned that with my wife. When years ago, we said, and Winston can collaborate that, we decided we were working so hard and not having any fun. We said, we got to start having fun. And we're going to start cruising all the time. Every year, we're going to take a cruise. And we're going in November. 22 of us are going to Panama Canal. Anybody want to come? Good. I got good prices. A bunch of people. Winston's going. I'm going. The Cardies are going. Sharon Braun is going. Whit Braun. We got a bunch of us from the parish. Vivine Belnavis. We got a bunch of people going. Because, you know, life is short. But God wants us to work for Him every day. If we experience joy, if we experience His grace and know that He's gracing us, giving us grace every day, takes away our fears, and then we begin to experience the richness of His love and the richness of His grace. You know, last week we burned a mortgage. I said, oh, that's pretty good. I'm glad we burned the mortgage for the church. But Wednesday, I burned my personal mortgage. That, to me, was better than burning the mortgage of the church. I have to be truthful in that. But see, God favors His children, and that came about because of a gift. But God favors His children, and He favors us by giving us blessings. But how could you see the blessing if you're caught in your fear? How could you see the blessing if you're caught in your worries and in your troubles? You don't see it. And God cannot bless a heart that's not open to Him. It has to be opened to be able to receive the blessing. The greatest blessing that we have in this church today, what do you think is the greatest blessing you're receiving today? You better start reading your catechisms. The greatest blessing we're receiving today is that God gives us the body and blood of His Son so that we might be sanctified, forgiven and sanctified, that Christ dwells in us as children of God, and we walk out of this church with heads up and we proclaim the good news to a world right now that's badly in need of it. Praise God.